my heart to do. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Lord, we pray as we come to this passage here on this special day that you'd speak to our hearts, and you'd minister to each of us, and you'd bless us and help us to hear your word and be responsive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John Wesley said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." I think that's true of many people. And today I want to talk to you a bit about a mother in this story who was desperate. A mother who was in dire need of help for her daughter. A mother who Jesus said had great faith. Really, she was a mother with great faith. And let's be honest, if you do it right, it takes great faith to even be a mother, to carry that out. It's a tough job. It's a thankless job in many ways. And I'm glad we've set aside a day like today in which we can honor moms and thank moms. And I want to thank you moms that are here for what you have done, what you are, what God has used you to do in the lives of children. You know, as parents, we do almost anything for our kids. I mean, it's so funny how that is. It's like, you know, even though they might be like, "Well, I don't even really think you should be doing that, but I'm going to help you do it anyway." I remember years ago when my daughter Tiffany, who's my oldest, so this is many years ago, about 20 years ago, actually, she traveled to Europe for the first time. She was only 16 years old. You might say, "Well, what am I doing letting her do that?" Well, I'm crazy. But anyway, she went, and as she traveled there, she got into the airport, and, you know, she's in an airport in Germany, and she can't really speak German. Obviously, she doesn't know it, and they don't really understand English, and so she's having all this trouble, and she couldn't figure her way out how to get to where she was going. And here she is by herself, 16 years old, and she's trying to call us, and she can't even make the phone call. She can't get out. She doesn't know how to use the phones, and finally, some young fellow came along and helped her make a phone call, and she got through, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and our home phone rings. You know, when the phone rings at 3 in the morning, it never feels, you know, you never wake up going, "Boy, I wonder who that might be." So I rush over, and I pick up the phone, and this is what I hear on the other side. "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." And I'm like, I wanted to jump through the phone. And as soon as she heard my voice, she's like, "Oh, I got you." She said, "Oh, I just wanted to tell you, I got here. I had a little trouble." I'm like, "I'm having a heart attack. Call 911, you know. Like, I'm so glad you called to check in at 3 in the morning. We would have done anything. We would have, if we could have somehow, you know, how when fax machines, you could start sending things through phone lines. I was thinking at that moment, send me through the phone line right now. And that's just that heart of a parent, and a mother has that kind of heart. And here this mom, she comes to Jesus. She has this kind of heart for her daughter. She just wants her help. And we can learn much from observing how this mother came to Jesus. You know, when I first read this story, it's interesting. Something doesn't seem right. In fact, I remember years ago reading through the Bible the first time. How many of you might remember the first time you read through the Bible? You're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And this was one of those stories that was a wait a minute story. I don't get this story because I remember thinking, is Jesus just being mean to this woman? Like, he doesn't really treat her very well here in the beginning. And why didn't he seem to care about this woman? Why didn't he simply just cast out the demon and tell her to go take care of her daughter and deal with it? Why did he have to sort of test her? And we look at this and we're kind of like, what's it about? But there are some great lessons that we can learn from this story. It's a story of a woman who is desperate for help for her daughter. And it's really a story that's more than just for moms. It's for all of us. It's for a parent who has a hurting child. It's for a parent who has a wayward son or daughter. It's for a teenager or a young person in here who has rebelled from your parents or turned away from the Lord. It's for the Christian to see that the Lord accepts all types of people. And it's for you, if you don't know the Lord, that Jesus will cross over any border to reach you, because he crosses the border in this story as we move on with it. We'll observe a couple of perspectives here. First of all, we get the background. Just recently before this, John the Baptist has been murdered. Jesus is heading north into the region of Tyre and Sidon, some 30 to 50 miles away from where he had been in the Galilee region. He had been traveling pretty much all around the Galilee. And these are predominantly Gentile territories that he's heading towards. In the other areas, they were kind of a mix of Jew and Gentiles. This is almost now all Gentiles. Now, our text doesn't give us the reason why Jesus journeyed, but it could be because John the Baptist being beheaded, there's a lot of pressure going on. We're not sure. Over in Mark's gospel, the same story is told. It gives a little bit more detail. It tells us that he went and he entered into a house and he was hidden there. He says he wanted to hide, that no one would know he was there, but he couldn't be hidden. Now, that's an interesting thing, because at times when Jesus wanted to hide, he did hide. When he wanted to disappear among the crowd, he just slipped through the crowd and they didn't know where he went. It's sort of like the Jedi mind trick or something, you know? A little better than that. And he could hide anytime he wanted to. He could be hidden from the hypocrites. But here's the interesting thing when I was thinking about this. Jesus will never hide from a woman in need or a person in need. He'll always be there for us. He never hides himself from a genuine need. And then we see this mother. She's also, Mark tells us, she's a Syrophoenician mother, a Greek. And it says that she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter, the way Mark puts it. And it's not relating so much to her race, it's relating really to her paganism. Identifying her as a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, was relating to the fact that her religion was pagan. She was a Gentile, but the important thing was that she did not know or had only recently come to know the God of the Jews. The Phoenician descent was, they were from Syria, and this meant, and here in Matthew it tells us she was of Canaan, meaning she was a Canaanite. Now, you remember, if you know your Bible history stories at all, you know that the Jews and the Canaanites had battles going on all through their history. We're studying in the book of Joshua on Sunday mornings at Cornerstone, and also on Wednesday nights we're looking at the book of Numbers, and these guys are always battling the Canaanites. And as they come into the land, and so here she is, there's this century-old prejudice against the Canaanites from the Jews. And they would do anything to avoid a Canaanite. It'd be considered a scandal for any rabbi to speak to even a person of Canaan, the Canaanites. And this woman, the fact that she was a woman, would have made it even worse. There's all kinds of taboos in those days. A rabbi wasn't to talk directly to a woman. That's the way things were. But you know, most of all, she's a Canaanite, she's a Gentile, she's a pagan, she's a woman, she's all these negative things when it comes to Jesus communicating with her, but most of all, this day, this woman is a mom. That's what she is. She's a mom who has a daughter who's demon-possessed. She's a mom with great need in her heart. And she comes, and the Gospel of Mark tells us she cried out to Jesus saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed, severely demon-possessed." Now, I don't know how you can be less than severely, like you're only a little demon-possessed. You know, she's like, she's severely demon-possessed, you know. She's desperate. Now, you think back on this, and you think, well, what's she talking about here? The word that's used for daughter here is of a child of, between the ages of around 10 to 14 years old. So her daughter's demon-possessed at a fairly young age. And you think, well, what could have happened to her daughter? When she was born, I'm sure there was great hope. You know, whenever a birth comes, a child comes on the scene, it's like this, it's incredible. Hey, you know, it's a baby. You know, and we're all excited. And I mean, just this past week, Stephanie Angeletta, well, she's not Angeletta anymore, but Stephanie McNerlin, she came with her baby to church. Yeah, I mean, you'd have thought there was nothing else going on in that church. The brand new baby, everybody gathered around, they're looking, oh, look at that, here's your little peanut, you know. In fact, we started church and there was a bigger crowd in the foyer than there was in church. I'm sure this little girl was precious to her mom. But in their culture, in the pagan cultures, they would take young girls and sell them into temple prostitution. It was very common. Was that what had happened to her? To this woman's daughter? Was her life ruined by the world? We're not sure, but she became possessed by a demon, vexed by an evil spirit. And what kind of guilt did the mom carry? Had she sold her into slavery herself, or had she observed it happening? Either way, no matter what the circumstances were, she saw the light leave her daughter's eyes at some point. She looked and there was some change in her. As sleepless nights followed and heartache and worry. Any of you have ever had any kind of prodigal, you know what this feels like, to worry as a parent, if they're on drugs or alcohol. Perhaps her language changed, her demeanor changed. She's out all hours, you're worrying, you're wondering whether they'll ever make it home. I've lived that a little bit with one of mine, and you know, fortunately, God's grace, not there any longer, but man, it's rough. It's a hard thing. And some of you have been through this, or you're going through this now. And this mom realized her only answer was Jesus. She realized she needed help. She had heard of this carpenter from Galilee who was casting out demons and healing all kinds of diseases and raising people from the dead. Jesus' reputation had gone before him. She got word that he was coming into the area. Somehow, she learned that Jesus is around. We're not sure how she heard, but word was traveling like wildfire. And it was a spark of hope in her heart. If only I can get to Jesus. And Jesus, of course, he's crossing over into Gentile territory. And she presses into him. And she cries out, she says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Notice she calls him Son of David, a messianic term. Now, she's a Gentile woman calling out to the Jewish Messiah. It's an odd thing when you think about it. It indicates that she knew something of the God of the Hebrews. Was she a convert? Was she a seeker? We don't know. But we know she knew the lingo. Possibly, she knew the lingo, and she rehearsed the lingo. She may have stood there saying, "Here's how I'm going to approach the carpenter from Galilee. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to say, 'Have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And, you know, kind of just trying to say, if I say this the right way, maybe I'll get the response. She needed Jesus' attention. Maybe this would work. She's desperate. And she'll do anything for her precious little one. And you moms that are in this room, you know what that is. All of us have moms. We know that our moms, it's like they go through a brick wall for us. And as I said, rabbis weren't supposed to talk to Gentiles or women, and she's both. She's got two strikes against her. And Jesus' first response, you know, you have to kind of think it would make most of us give up. He answered not a word, it tells us in verse 23. He answered not a word. He doesn't seem to acknowledge her. And it seems very cold, doesn't it? You're like, Jesus, what about the Jesus, the warm Jesus that I know in Sunday school? Well, what about that Jesus? Why isn't he responding to this woman in need? When we seek the Lord and we're desperate, there are times when heaven is silent, and that's a hard thing. But it's reality. It's reality that sometimes the Lord doesn't answer right away. And we say, Lord, why don't you answer right away? The Lord has his timing, and he knows what time it is. And he knows how he wants to accomplish things. Doesn't mean God's ignoring you. And it didn't mean Jesus was ignoring her. He sees, he knows, and he'll respond in his time. He answered her not a word. And then not only that, does he answer not a word, but the disciples, these apostles we have there, these guys who are supposed to be the head honchos, the future bishops, right? These guys, what do? They don't go to Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, she's a hurting woman. Maybe we should minister to her. What do they say? Send her away. What? This is real ministry here, you know? Send her away, they say. Well, I mean, that just seems so ridiculous, doesn't it? And notice they say, for she cries out after us. Well, wait a minute. I didn't hear her say your name, Peter. And likely Peter's the spokesman here. She's bothering us. Get rid of her. She's a Gentile dog. She's bugging us. I mean, who knows? Maybe she didn't smell good. Maybe she didn't look so good. They're like, this is bad. This is bad karma going on over here. This is a bad rep. Jesus, we don't want this woman chasing us around. Send her away. Cast her away. In the original, it seems to indicate they may have been saying, cast the demon out of her and get it over with. Let's move on to something really good. Let's just get this over with, Jesus. Notice they say, she cries out after us. Think of how discouraging this could be for this woman. Have you ever been discouraged by spiritual leaders? I think I've been guilty in my life of discouraging some people. You know, you're busy and something happens and somebody has a need and you don't meet the need, or you're not there, or you don't do what you'd like them to do, and you get discouraged. If you've ever had a spiritual leader say, send them away to you, or mistreat you in this way, you can relate to this woman. But just because a spiritual leader does that doesn't mean that's the heart of God. Because unfortunately, we're flawed, we make mistakes. And don't let that discourage you. Press into Jesus all the more like this woman does. She's a great example to us. Jesus finally speaks. She's been crying out to Jesus. She's gotten no response. The disciples have discouraged her. They've tried to get rid of her, but she persists in her faith, and Jesus finally speaks to her. And here's what he says, verse 24. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent for Israel, and you're not an Israelite. And the disciples were probably like, yeah, that's right. Send her away. They're probably right behind that whole thing, man. But what does she do here? Notice verse 25. And she came and worshiped him. She falls down and worships Jesus. The idea is she goes on her knees and she worships. The word worship means to turn and to kiss. It's the idea that she turned to Jesus with all her heart and as if to say, Lord, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do, but here I am. And she falls down and she says, Lord, help me. There's no more rehearsing, you know, Son of David. There's no more trying to impress Jesus here. This is just a cry of the heart of a woman who's brokenhearted and wants help. And you know, Jesus, I believe, loves to hear that kind of cry. Whether it's from a mom who's got a hurting daughter or whether it's from a daughter who's got a messed up family and a dysfunctional family. Let's all face it, we're all dysfunctional, right? Can we just get that over with? Dysfunctional families, we all come from dysfunctional families. You know why? Because you were born in a family that had a sinner, it was the head of the family. So we're all born sinners, right? So we're all dysfunctional. If you don't believe that, take a look at the book of Genesis and look at the life of Jacob and how many sons he has, all of four different women. How'd you like to be in that family? 12 sons, four different women, and a bunch of sisters too. We don't even know how many. When they cried out, Mom, they didn't even know who they were calling. There were so many of them. There's four moms in the house. Hey, Mom, which one? Dysfunction. That's the way we live. But she gives this dire cry of a mother for her little one. Three simple words. Lord, help me. This is so powerful. And if you're here today in need, whether you are a mom who's in need for a daughter or whether you're just a person who's in need for yourself, those are the words you need to do. Cry out, Lord, help me. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your predicament is, no matter how messed up your life may have become, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I believe the Lord loves to hear those words. I believe he desires to answer those things. And it sometimes takes the pain of suffering for us to cry out. And in this woman's life, who knows what she was like? Who knows what her own life was like? We don't know. But it takes the pain and suffering of even a child to bring her to a pure and simple faith. You know, there's a heartbreak that happens in the heart of a parent who has their child go through something like this. And there's just a pure and simple faith that we have to come back to. And if you've ever had a prodigal or you've known a prodigal, you know her heart. You understand the heart of this mom. Even if you're not a mom, you understand the heart of this mom. If you know somebody who's not walked with Jesus, who's struggled and walked away from the Lord. And she's interceding for her daughter. And this is the great mystery for a mother. To be a prayer warrior for her children. And listen, moms, those of you who've done this, it's worth it. They're worth it. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Pray every day for them. And I love how Jesus finally responds to her. He finally answers her. She cried out for help, and here's what he says. You gotta still puzzled by this. It makes you scratch your head. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This doesn't seem like Jesus, does it? I mean, it seems harsh. She's crying out for help, and he's saying, well, I can't help you. I really can't do much for you. But you don't understand the language and the culture here. Jesus the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Understand that. That's a common term. But the word they used for dogs was the word for scavenger dogs. The word that Jesus uses here, and it was like the Gentiles would say to the, or the Jews would say to the Gentiles, it was like you say, you dirty dog. You know how we might use that? I mean, maybe that's an older term. You don't say that much anymore. But that's kind of a term, hey, you dirty dog. What are you doing that to me, you dirty dog? And that's sort of like the Jews would treat the Gentiles. They treated them as dogs. But that's not the word that Jesus used. No. Jesus used the word for little puppy. It's the word kunarion. And he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little puppies. And basically, Jesus is saying, I came for the Jew first. And it's not good to give to the Gentiles what was intended for the Jews. I'm here for the Jews first. I'm the Jewish Messiah. That's what Jesus is doing. He's identifying that he's the Jewish Messiah. And it would seem, again, like this word would discourage her. But listen, when a mom wants something for her child, she doesn't give up, does she? I've coached some teams over the years. And I've had some moms come to me. And they've wondered why their kid wasn't playing. And I thought it would just be a minute conversation. Sometimes it's been a long conversation. I've been on the other side of that one, too, as a dad trying to get, how come my daughter's not playing? How about my son? Why don't you put him there? Why don't you? They, poor coaches. But she's desperate. And her answer in verse 27 is beautiful. I want you to note it. Look at it. She says, yes, Lord. So she acknowledges him as Lord. And she says, yet even the little dogs, the little canarion, eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You're right, Lord. You came for the Jews. Her heart was already converted. And she says, but even the little dogs, even the canarion like me, we get the scraps. We get the scraps of your grace, Lord. And let me just say, the scraps of Jesus' grace are better than any banquet you'd ever have. The scraps of the grace of walking with the Lord is better than any feast you might have in this world. I used to have a dog. Some of you guys know. Good old Diesel. We had to put him down a few years ago. Some people have asked me, do I think the dogs go to heaven? I think some do, but Diesel didn't. There's no way. When that dog, I mean, when we would give him scraps from the table, he would sit there at that table. And you know, he was such a weird dog at times. You know, he wouldn't eat the food if we weren't home. Like if I went out, if I fed him and I put the food down, I'd say, okay, eat your food, and then I went out the door, he wouldn't eat the food. We'd come back and the food would be scattered all over the kitchen floor. He was neurotic. He was absolutely a neurotic dog. And I'd spoil him, you know, I'd give him olive oil on his food because they said that was good for his coat, and you know, I'd warm it up for him. And, you know, and I'd give it to sit him down there. Okay, come on, Diesel. He'd go over, he'd eat it, you know. And his God was his belly. No question about that. But, you know, it didn't matter. I could put the best food in the world in his dish. But if we were going to give him food from the table, it could be dog food from the table or steak in his dish. And he'd eat the dog from the table. He hung around the table because he knew he'd get some goodies. And in a sense, that's what is being said here. You get the table, you get to hang around the table of the Lord to get some of the scraps. Mark says it that way. He said they would eat the scraps of the children. Have you ever had a dog and seen a dog around a child? You know, when the kid's eating, that dog is sitting there. I know you're going to drop something. And here's what she's saying. I'm a Gentile. I'm a canarion. I'm a little dog. I'm a little puppy. But even a canarion can have the crumbs and the scraps from you, Lord Jesus. In a sense, she's saying, if you'll allow me to have the scraps of your grace, that will be enough. That'll be enough for me. Because those crumbs will be enough to heal my daughter. The scraps of heaven can restore the life of a little one. So Jesus' response, look what he says in verse 28. He says to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Not only does he heal her daughter, but he says she's a woman of great faith. This is a mother with great faith. And there's only two times when Jesus says in the entire New Testament that someone has great faith. Two times. One is when the centurion was there, and the Gentile centurion whose servant was ill, he told Jesus that all he needed to do was speak the word and he would be healed. He believed in the authority of Jesus, and Jesus said, "You're a man of great faith." And then in this place, it wasn't when Peter walked on water, it wasn't when the disciples cast out demons, it wasn't when they healed the sick, or even when the four men tore the roof off the house to let their friend in to be healed. No. When did Jesus speak of great faith? He spoke of great faith when a Gentile centurion believed that his servant would be healed, and he spoke of great faith in this woman's life as she stepped out and wouldn't give up and had persistence. He marveled at her faith, is the idea in the Greek. He marveled at the faith of a Canaanite woman. Why? Was it because she was persistent? I think partially. Important that she was persistent, but I don't think that's all it was. I don't think persistence is the thing that impresses God. What was it in her great belief? No, I think what amazed Jesus was the simplicity of it. Just the basic simplicity of sitting at the feet of Jesus and willing to be a canary on. Willing to be a little puppy, just saying, "I'll just take the scraps. Whatever falls from the table, I'll take it because that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me." She knew she wasn't that important. But even if she got the leftovers, it was enough for her daughter to be healed. And that she knew that God loved her anyway, and wanted to grant her request, and she didn't give up. Mark gives us one more detail in Mark 7:30. He says, "And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed." Can you imagine the moment? Think of it. And any of you who have had a prodigal who's gone astray and come home, you know this feeling. You know this sense of relief. How long it had been since she'd been able to rest, but now she can be at peace. And the woman didn't question the word of the Lord. She went home believing that her daughter was made whole, and she got home and her daughter was made whole. She found her daughter in that great condition, restored, new, revived, changed. The power of God changing a life. Can I tell you today, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, God loves you and he wants to change your life. He wants to do a new work in you. If your heart has been broken and you're at your end and you're done playing games with God and you cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help me," he will meet your need. He will respond. You can just simply come and press into Jesus because he loves you. And don't let disciples of the Lord, spiritual leaders, discourage you because sometimes they don't get it and they say things like, "Send them away." Don't let that discourage you. Come to Jesus in genuineness. That's what this woman did. And he'll not say no. He may have you wait, and he may have you walk through it a little bit like he did with this woman. But he ultimately granted her request, and she was humble and willing to take the scraps of his grace. And because he was willing, she was willing to do that, she received. And moms, there might even be some moms in here where you have a prodigal right now. Wait on the Lord, worship Jesus, and he'll cross the borders that are necessary to meet your need. if you put your trust in Him. He loves you. He wants the best for you.